It says, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, that Abraham obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. Now notice one word in there, and the one word that I want you to notice is inheritance. And if you receive an inheritance, you receive something that's valuable. If you receive an inheritance, you receive something of value or quality. And if my inheritance is wrapped up in the land of Canaan, oh, somebody hear me today, that if my inheritance is wrapped up in the land of Canaan and I stop in Haran, then I'm settling for mediocrity.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Wasted Time at Haran. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Wasted Time at Haran.
I'm going to ask that you would open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll start there, and then if you want to get warmed up, you can turn to Acts chapter 7. Genesis chapter 12, and then Acts chapter 7. And in Genesis, actually, we can go back to Genesis chapter 11 at the end of that, and verse 31. And it says, and Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his sons, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and went. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And here we see Stephen is testifying before the Sanhedrin. And this testimony actually will end up with his death. He will be stoned to death as a result of giving this testimony. But in chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, we read these words. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I will show thee. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land in which ye now dwell, and gave him no inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. As we look at these two passages of Scripture, there's one thing that sticks out in our mind. And there was a word that was mentioned several times in those two passages of Scripture. And that word is actually the name of a city, and the name of that city is Haran. And we see that God called Abraham to leave
his home country of Ur of the Chaldees and go to the promised land. But somewhere along the way, Abraham stopped in Haran and dwelt there. And he came short of what God had for his life. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the topic that the Lord has burdened my heart with. And the title of my message is, and it'll become more clear as we get into it, but the title of my message this morning is Wasted Years at Haran. Wasted Years at Haran. Have you ever been on a journey? Maybe you were going on vacation. Maybe you were going on a trip to another city somewhere. And along the way, and I don't know if you're like me, but I know when I get in the car, if I'm going on a trip, I like to get there. I like to get where I'm going. And, you know, it was a problem. It was a problem when my kids were growing up and we would take trips because I had this mentality and my wife had another mentality. And her mentality is that, you know, we need to take breaks for these kids because they got to go to the bathroom, right? But I'm like, man, you know, let's go. And so, you know, it used to bother me that we had to stop for these kids on these bathroom trips because I like to get where I'm going, all right? And so the reason I felt that way because I felt I was wasting time, you know. Can't you go to the bathroom before you leave? And, you know, we got an eight-hour trip, and we just hold it till we get there, right? You know, that don't work. But I feel that when we pull off, you know, I don't even like to stop for gas. You know, the time that I've stopped, I feel like, man, I be thinking, I could have been 2 miles down the road. You know, we spent 10 minutes here. You know, if I'm doing 60 miles an hour, that's 10 more minutes down the road I could be. And so, you know, sometimes you can get to the point where you feel like, you know, you're wasting time or don't let something happen to your car break down, and you know that you have a destination to get to, and then you're there and you're figuring, man, I got to get my car fixed. I got to call AAA. They got to come out here and help me. And look at all this time I've wasted. Or this is one of the most frustrating things is to be going in the wrong direction and not know that you're going in the wrong direction and travel in the wrong direction for 50, 60, 70 miles. And then you got to turn around and come all the way back. So not only have you gone 50 or 60, 70 miles out of your way, but then you got to turn around and you got to come back. So that's a whole hour and a half, 2 hours that you just wasted. And as we think about our subject today, God called Abraham to go to the land of Canaan. And Abraham stopped in Haran. And we see here that, I don't know how long he stayed, but the Bible says he stayed until his father died. And when his father died, then that's when the call came again and he resumed his trip on down to Canaan. If you have your notes this morning, let me set the picture for you. Abraham, the patriarch, he grew up in a city that reverenced and worshiped thousands of gods, Ur of the Chaldees. And if you'll put that next slide up so we can get a picture, and I put this in your notes too, but if you look up on the screen, you'll see where the kind of purple line starts over here at Ur. That's where Abraham grew up at. That's where his family was from. And they lived in a land where thousands of gods were worshipped. This is in a small village in southern Mesopotamia, what we would consider today as present-day Iraq. That's where Ur of the Chaldees was located. You can see that it was located on the Euphrates River, which made it a gold mine for commerce and trade, that people could get pretty much like Pittsburgh. One of the reasons that Pittsburgh has been so successful, and even as far as the steel mills are concerned, is because it sits on the rivers. And it's easy to put the coal and the raw materials on the river and float them up and down. So it was the same way back in Ur. You know, Ur was right there, was near the Euphrates River, so they could float a lot of things up and down the river, and plus it was a main thoroughfare where people would come through to bring their trade. Now, one of the devastating things about Ur was the fact that it worshipped many gods. And one of the main gods that Ur worshipped was the moon god. And this god was so revered, now I have all this in your notes, but this god was so revered that not only was he the god, the moon god of Ur, but he was also their king. That they didn't even have a king at that time. Later on they would have a king, but during this time, the moon god was their king. And one commentator writes that this one deity, that this moon god actually had a whole quarter of the city that was just set apart and dedicated unto him. And this is the background that Abraham grew up in. So Abraham didn't grow up as a nice little Hebrew young man where they worshiped Yahweh and reverenced him and served him, but he grew up in the land of 1,000 deities. And in the midst of that, God calls Abraham. Abraham is just going on about his business. And one day out of the blue, Yahweh, Jehovah God, shows up and speaks to Abraham in the midst of all these thousands of gods. He shows up and he says, look, you need to get out of here. You need to get up and you need to get out of here and you need to go to a place that I have prepared for you. I want you to shut down acknowledging all these gods, and I want you to worship me, the one true supreme being that reigns over all the earth. I want you to go somewhere where you can focus on me and where you can worship me. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place where he didn't even know he was going, he obeyed and he went out by faith. He starts on his journey. And as Abraham begins to travel, there was actually two routes that he could have taken. He could have taken the direct route, which would have started in Ur and actually went straight across the Arabian Desert. But that was a dangerous route because it was a desert and there was not a whole lot of refreshment along the way. There was hot days and, you know, he had his camels and all of his servants and all these people with him. And so many of them probably would have perished out there in the desert. So he logically chooses to go northwest, which you see is a fertile land. It's a land where there's rivers and the land is green and it's nourished. And it was probably a smart decision for him to take that direction and to go in that direction because it was a lot safer and he probably could have met his needs a lot better traveling that route. However, you'll see just about at the point of that purple line that there's a city up there and this city is called Haran. And this is where Abraham stops. It's about 500 miles, like I said, northwest of Ur. And so he stops there. Interestingly enough, that in Haran, they worshiped the same gods that they worshiped in Ur. As a matter of fact, the main god in Ur was also the main god in Haran. And that was the moon god. And so in Haran, they worship the moon god. Now, I don't know why Abraham stopped. You know, there's a lot of, as I read the commentaries, people said a lot of different things as to why he stopped in Haran. You know, some people said because his father, Terah, was sick and he had to, you know, he couldn't travel anymore. So he, you know, had to wait on Terah. And then when Terah died, that gave him the freedom to be able to leave and continue the journey. Another commentator said, well, It might have been the fact that they worshiped the same gods, and he got to Haran and got comfortable and began to worship the same gods in Haran, and God actually had to come and call him again to go to the land of Canaan. All those things are speculation, and in my objective here today is not to say why he settled down. I don't know why he stopped in Haran, but he stayed in Haran for some significant period of time. And as I look at that, I find that Haran is not the promised land. Let me say that again. Haran is not the promised land. Haran is not the place that God promised to Abraham. Haran is not the place where God told Abraham that he was to live and dwell. God was trying to get him up out of all that. He was trying to get him away from all these other thousands of gods and this moon god. And he was trying to get him to a place where he was going to give Abraham so that Abraham could acknowledge God as the supreme being of the universe. But Haran becomes this substitute. Haran becomes this place of dwelling that takes the place of God's best in his life. And as I think about us, many of us have Harans in our lives. Some of you got a Haran in your life, and his name is Jimmy or Susan, or, you know, that's your Haran. That's your Haran. God, you know, I'm not trying to offend Jimmy or Susan today. You know, I meant that generically. Now, you know, nobody in mind, nobody specifically in mind today. But maybe that's your Haran. Maybe your wealth today is your Haran. It's the thing that's keeping you from reaching the destiny that God has called you to. Maybe your Haran today is your own self-limitations, that you put restrictions and you put limitations on yourself and told yourself that there were things that you can't do, and that has become your Haran that causes you to stop short of the promised land that God has for your life. What is your Haran today? What is the thing that only has allowed you to go halfway to the completion of the will of God in your life? As we think about Haran today, let me share with you five things. And that is five things that Haran represents in our lives. First of all, we see that Haran represents a connection with the old life. Haran represents a connection with the old life. Look at Joshua. Look at the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Haran represents a connection to the old life. In Joshua 24, verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the river of old, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And what did they do? They served other gods. They worshiped other gods. And the same gods that were in Ur were the same gods that were in Haran. And so to leave Ur and to start on this journey to the promised land, to the land that God has called you, and then to stop short in Haran means that you haven't made the break from the old life. You know, once again, I don't want to read anything into the text, but we can speculate today, and we can say that if they had been worshiping, and notice that they called Abraham. God spoke to Abraham, so he had to convince the rest of them, let's go, because God spoke to me. But maybe some of them weren't convinced, and maybe they had some problems along the way. And when they got to Haran, they were able to say, well, look, you know, we can still connect with our deities. And that old life that we left behind, we can still have some association with. And I don't know how many of God's people that I see today that they just have a problem breaking from the old life. They have a problem trying to travel down this road to sanctification. Because you see, the road to sanctification leads beyond Haran. And you can't live a holy life, and you can't live, and you can't worship the supreme being and the God of the universe if you want to stay stuck in Haran. If you want to allow the things of the world to be attached to you, if you want to allow the things of the world to hold you in Haran, then you can't be freed up to get into this promised land and to worship God the way that he would have you to worship. Man, God put in our spirit and give us a knowledge that when we've been captivated and captured by Haran, you know the other thing about Haran is that Ur was a thriving metropolis. It started out as a little small village, but because of the trade route and because of the river, it began to flourish and grow, and Ur became one of the most significant cities during the time of Abraham. If you'll put that slide back up there again of the geographical location of Haran. Now, what you will notice here about Haran is that if you were traveling from Egypt, which is on the bottom part to the left of the map, and you wanted to get over to Ur, once again, you could travel across the desert, but many people didn't do that. And so what they would do, they would go up what was called the Via Maris, and that was the road that led from east to west. And so Haran became a critical point for people that were traveling from east to west, that they would have to go right through Haran. Now, another thing that you notice is that you see the Great Sea, and you also see the Euphrates River. And so not only caravans traveling by land, but people traveling by sea would have to come right through Haran. And so Haran became a thriving metropolis. And as we look at our world today, there's so many distractions in our world. There are so many things that will allure us away from the destination that God has called us to. There are so many things that draw our attention away, that draw our focus away from God. Now, I was thinking that I was with my grandkids the other day, and they came over, and they were all sitting there. And they turned on Dora the Explorer or SpongeBob. I don't know, somebody they was watching. And you know, when they were watching that, I mean, they were like riveted on that thing, man. And you know, that they were so riveted that, you know, if you say something, they don't even hear what you're saying. And I thought to myself, I said, man, this is where young people are today. I mean, all young people. Man, the world is so attractive. The world is so captivating that we just get riveted in. We get locked into the world. And if we as Christians are not careful, we can almost get sucked up into it. And God can be speaking to us, and we won't hear God because we're so sucked up into the world. And we're focused on Haran. And God is trying to move us to the promised land. And Haran becomes that stopping point. Haran becomes that place that keeps us from our destination of following God. And Haran is that old life that keeps calling us and that keeps pulling us back. God, deliver us from Haran. Deliver us from Haran. The second thing we see is that
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Wasted Time at Haran. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Wasted Time at Haran, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Wasted Time at Haran. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Wasted Time at Haran or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.